This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for Tuesday's headlines. And the U.S., on schedule and even a day early, has withdrawn combat troops from cities in Iraq, officially turning security over to Iraqi forces. This is seen as a major milestone, especially compared to where the situation stood just a couple of years ago, prior to the surge and counterinsurgency strategy employed by the Bush administration through General David Petraeus. Correspondent Terry Moore has details.
Army General Ray Odierno, commander of U.S. troops in Iraq, cheered the progress of the Iraqi security forces.
The competence of the Iraqi security forces has grown tremendously since, again, what I would call the dark days of 2006.
In a briefing from Baghdad, broadcast at the Pentagon, Odierno said the U.S. will focus primarily on security outside of the cities, including border controls. He noted that U.S. trainers and advisors will continue working with Iraqi security forces in the cities, but declined to say how many, insisting the number varies each day. I'm Terry Moore reporting.
More now from General Odierno, who is the multinational commander in Iraq, took over for General Petraeus not long ago. He says that it's important that the Iraqi security forces have come a long way since the dark days of 2006. He says they're now in fighting trim.
We've seen the Iraqi army grow professionally. We've seen them conduct operations across the country in a non-sectarian way. And frankly, the biggest improvement of any force here in the last 2 years has been in the national police.
Odierno also says, though, that the mission is not over. He says the impact of al-Qaeda in Iraq is dwindling, but warned that our enemies are still dangerous.
Al-Qaeda continues to kill innocent people for no apparent reason, except to attempt to incite more violence.
And there's another problem off to the east. General Odierno says despite the post-election turmoil going on in Iran, that government is still actively trying to destabilize what's been built in Iraq.
We continue to still see training going on inside of Iran. We still believe weapons are moving and ammunition is moving from Iran into Iraq.
President Obama also noting today's milestone of American forces moving out of Iraqi cities and handing over security operations in those metropolitan areas to Iraqi security forces exclusively. U.S. troop numbers will not be changing much in the next few months, although after that they will be drawn down, and eventually by the end of 2011, the U.S. will essentially be out of Iraq. Today, President Obama says this development is a major step towards ending this war.
It's a part of our strategy to responsibly end the war by removing all American combat brigades from Iraq by next September, and of all of our troops from Iraq by the end of 2011.
Obama says he's well aware that given this security transition, there could be some rough roads and rough days ahead for the Iraqi security forces, but he says he's confident they're ready for the job.
Iraq's future is in the hands of its own people, and Iraq's leaders must now make some hard choices necessary to resolve key political questions.
The president also says the greatest credit here goes to the American forces who have fought valiantly and succeeded tremendously over the past several years in Iraq.
The very fact that Iraqis are celebrating this day is a testament to the courage, the capability, and commitment of every single American who has served in Iraq.
Back home in domestic politics, the Minnesota State Supreme Court has issued a ruling in favor of Democrat Al Franken in that state's eight-month-long disputed race for the U.S. Senate. The unanimous 5-0 ruling says that Franken has won the election and is entitled to an election certificate that would put him in the U.S. Senate. The court rejected numerous claims by Republican Norm Coleman about inconsistencies and irregularities in the recount process, specifically related to absentee ballot being counted in various jurisdictions. Justices have upheld a lower court ruling from April affirming that Franken won the election by 312 votes. Coleman held the lead after the initial vote count, but Franken surged to the lead after the recount. There had been some speculation that Coleman might challenge this again, this time in federal court, but shortly after the court's decision was rendered, the former Republican senator said he is not going to challenge this any further.
The Supreme Court of Minnesota has spoken. I respect its decision, and I will abide by its result. It's time for Minnesotans to come together under the leaders it has chosen and move forward. And I join all Minnesotans in congratulating our newest United States Senator, Al Franken.
The former senator knows that the people of Minnesota were growing weary of this very long recount challenge, but he says there were some important democratic principles that needed to be fought for through the courts.
I also thought it was important to stand up for enfranchising thousands of Minnesotans whose votes weren't counted like others were. After all, issues and politicians come and go, but voting is fundamental. It is the essence of democracy that I knew we needed to do everything we could to get it right.
All Al Franken needs now to become a sitting U.S. senator is to get an election certificate to be signed by Governor Tim Pawlenty and Minnesota Secretary of State Mark Ritchie, both of whom have pledged to do that. He will soon be sworn in as the 60th Democrat in the U.S. Senate, meaning if all the Democrats stick together, Republicans cannot successfully filibuster any legislation. Elsewhere on Capitol Hill, West Virginia Senator Robert Byrd has been released from a Washington, D.C. hospital, but has not yet returned to work. The West Virginia lawmaker, who has been in Congress since 1952 and the Senate since 1958, was hospitalized more than 6 weeks ago for treatment of a reported staph infection. That, according to the Capitol Hill newspaper Roll Call. It's not known when the 91-year-old Byrd will return to work. He is the longest-serving member of the U.S. Senate in history. His congressional office issued a statement saying he's, quote, resting comfortably at home, where he will continue to his recuperation and physical therapy, unquote. Elsewhere today, President Obama putting a spotlight on innovative nonprofit programs. At a White House event, the president said the best ideas often come from the bottom up, from communities across the nation.
Solutions to America's challenges are being developed every day at the grassroots. And government shouldn't be supplanting those efforts. It should be supporting those efforts.
Obama called those efforts community solutions and urged foundations, philanthropists, and the private sector to find and invest in such endeavors. He cited a pioneering spirit and said people should not be afraid to fail, pick themselves up, and try again. Obama said community innovators are, quote, changing the way we think about some of our toughest challenges. AAA is forecasting a nearly 2% reduction in auto travel this 4th of July holiday weekend. That's not much in comparison to the 10.5% drop in car travel last year, but it's not exactly good news for the travel industry either, since the 4th of July is typically the busiest time of the year in terms of car travel. Most Americans, about 88%, travel by automobile for their summer vacations, but an untimely spike in gas prices and the weak economy are keeping some of them at home. One child was rescued from the sea today after a plane from Yemen crashed off a group of islands in the Indian Ocean. The manager of the international airport in Moroni said the 5-year-old child was taken to a medical center. He also said 5 bodies have been found thus far from the Yemeni plane that had 153 people on board. The Paris Airport's authority said the Airbus jet was flying the final stretch of a trip from Paris and Marseille via Yemen to the Indian Ocean archipelago of Comoros. The weather was reportedly bad at the time of the crash, with a Yemeni corporation's official saying there were strong winds and high seas. The French military has dispatched medical teams, boats, and divers to the crash site. NASA has reportedly located the long-lost original recordings of the first moon landing in which Neil Armstrong took one giant leap for mankind. According to Britain's Daily Express, officials at NASA will unveil the new crystal-clear footage of the first moon landing next month. The original film was recorded using a special lunar camera and went through a series of processes, each of which reduced the original high quality before it was broadcast on TV sets in living rooms across America. From the moon, the signal was beamed to Earth's closest tracking station at the Parkes Observatory in Australia, where it was recorded to a high-grade magnetic tape. The tapes recorded at the observatory contain the unadulterated and highest quality images of the moon landing. They were recently discovered in Australia. And if they're still airable, we'll get to see them in conjunction with the 40th anniversary of the first moon landing next month. Finally, stock prices slid on Wall Street on Tuesday following a surprise drop in consumer confidence coupled with slipping oil prices. Analysts said the decline in consumer confidence signals continuing concern about job losses and whether the economy is starting to recover. Investors sold shares across the board, sending the Dow Jones Industrials off 82 points to close at 84.47. The Nasdaq dropped 9 points, ending the session at 18.35. The S&P 500 lost 8 points, closing at 9.19. Crude oil closed at $69.89 per barrel, down $1.60. That's a look at Tuesday's news. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.